To give you a very brief introduction about the organization, which is Brahma Kumaris. So Prajapita Brahma Kumaris Ishwariya Vishwavidyalaya, or Prajapita Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University are the two names by which this organization is known as, is a spiritual organization that teaches personal transformation and world renewal through Raj Yoga meditation. We have more than 8,000 centers in 130 countries with 10 lakh active students who lead a life applying spirituality in their day-to-day activities. The organization was founded in 1937 in Sindh, Pakistan, and is now headquartered in Mount Abu, Rajasthan. Dadi Janki is the current administrative head of this organization, and she is 102 years of age. The Brahma Kumaris have an extensive impact in many walks of life as an international NGO. The organization offers its services through 19 different wings. Just to name a few, the security wing, the business and industry wing, the education wing, the rural wing, the politician wing, the IT wing, etc., etc. Spirituality in IT, which is SIT, SIT, is the brainchild of the information technology wing of the Brahma Kumaris. This is the 6th anniversary of SIT. Since the inception, for the past 6 years, SIT has been organizing half-day to full-day workshops every second Saturday. Needless to mention the hundreds of programs that we've conducted in different organizations from which thousands, tens of thousands of individuals have been benefited. That's a very brief about the organization. Moving ahead, today's topic, which is Rethink, Reconnect and Rejuvenate. It reminds me of a nice story that, you know, I've heard some sister telling me, and I'm going to tell you that story. It's very, very interesting. So there was this enthusiast who wanted to learn music. He was not from India, he was someone from abroad. And you know, when people from abroad want to learn something, they're very passionate about it, be it spirituality, be it music, be it anything. I've seen foreigners chanting Vedic mantras better than Indians. I mean, that's the kind of dedication that they have. So was this one gentleman who wanted to learn music. So after a lot of research, in some remote part of India, he found his guru, who was a veteran at classical music, and he said that this is the person with whom I really want to go ahead and progress my career or start learning music. So what happened is, as soon as he went and approached the guru first said, "I don't think you're fit to learn music." And then, I mean, this was basically to test his intention, of course. And then he was extremely persistent. He kept contacting the guru time and again. And then the guru finally said, "Okay, I'm going to teach you music." So it so happened that once he was inducted into the ashram. This was the old school, not the new, modern musical schools that you have. So once the guru has inducted this gentleman into the ashram, the guru told him, for the first 2 weeks, you only have to mop, sweep and dust the windows. And he was wondering, what is wrong with the guru? Why is he asking me to mop and dust and then, you know, clean the windows? I'm here to learn music. Why is it that I'm not being taught music and, you know, just asked to mop and clean? So he did that for 2 weeks, and then he went back to the guru. "You asked me to basically go ahead and mop and dust. I've done that for the past 2 weeks. What next?" The guru said, "Do that for the next 2 weeks, and then the next 2 weeks, and then the next 2 weeks." So 3 months have just passed away just doing this, and then finally, there came a day when the guru and the shishya was, you know, face to face, and then the guru asked the shishya one question. He didn't say that, you know, you have to continue this for 2 extra weeks. He said, "Let me ask you a question. When you came here, what was your intention behind coming here?" He said, "To learn music. So when I asked you to mop and sweep and clean and dust the windows, etc., what thoughts were going in your mind?" He said, "I thought you were a fool. I came here to basically learn music, and then you're asking me to mop and dust. I didn't find any kind of correlation between my purpose and your, you know, purpose." And then the guru said, "You failed miserably at the test." The student was absolutely awestruck. He said, why did I fail? He said, what were the thoughts that were going on in your mind when I asked you to clean? He said, there were a lot of waste thoughts that were going. Why is it that you're asking me to do it? There are so many people who can do it. I'm here to learn music, blah, 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 etc., etc. And so, the Guru said, if you're here to learn music, if I teach you music, you will learn music. If I give you a certain task, you are going to go ahead and fulfill that task, not think anything waste. So, rethink, reconnect and rejuvenate. There'll be a lot of disturbances here, you know, external factors, internal factors. We might be reminded by our mind, you know, there's a huge flow of thoughts that happen. We might encounter some relationships, some situations, some phone call, somebody might walk in. There could be a whole lot of instances wherein, you know, there are going to be a lot of disturbances. But we're going to rethink as to the purpose that we are here. We're going to reconnect with ourself, which unfortunately we've lost touch with. And then we feel rejuvenated at the end of this session. So, moving ahead, just to introduce the speaker, Yogesh Bhai. His full name is Yogesh Sharda. Yogesh Bhai was born in Malawi, Africa, with an Indian background and brought up in London and Oxford, England. Yogesh Bhai has been a personal development trainer and a workshop facilitator for over 20 years, presenting many hundreds of seminars, workshops and courses for businesses, hospitals, universities, youth organizations, local community groups, etc. throughout Europe, UK, Middle East, Southeast Asia, Australasia, USA, Central and South America and India. Over the last 18 years, he has been in and around Turkey, making presentations on various topics in numerous organizations. If I were to go on mentioning the number of organizations and the topics that, you know, he has conducted his lectures or speeches in, it would just be a waste of time because it's a very, very big list. His training comes from the Academy for a Better World in Mount Abu, India, and the Global Retreat Center in Oxford, England. Both are run by the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University. So, I welcome Yogesh Bhai to start the session. Rethink, reconnect and rejuvenate. Thank you.
Hello, good morning everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. So, let me also add my welcome and a big thanks to Rishi for such a warm and generous introduction. Let me also add that I've been in this study and practice of Raja Yoga, meditation, self-awareness with this organization, the Brahma Kumaris, since I was around 8 or 9 years old. So for me it's been a lifelong journey in living the external life of study and travel and working and so on. But also there is the internal journey of taking care of your mind, understanding how thoughts work, understanding our emotions. And I feel that each person does have these two dimensions to life. But for the most part, generally we give more attention to the outer life and less to the inner life. And it's due to this that we have this imbalance in the world, whereas we can have tremendous breakthroughs in travel, in healthcare, in communication. We can sit here and communicate with somebody the other side of the world. But yet the inside part is not given proper attention, that we find it difficult to perhaps get along with other people. We find it difficult to make peace with our neighbor. So something seems to be wrong in the equation of human life. And it asks us the question that what is really progress? What does it mean that the human race is advancing and moving forward? And in my understanding, it's this part which needs to be given attention, the inner life, the inner world, understanding our own consciousness and our thoughts, and how that plays a part and an impact in our daily life experience. When I was growing up, as a child I was in Africa, and then later we moved to London. One thing I was always interested in is why do people behave the way that they behave? For example, why do people get angry? And I remember the first time seeing two adults getting angry and shouting at each other. And to me, it seemed like it was two dogs barking at each other. And certainly it did not look smart to me. And I saw these two people who I had great respect for and were seniors, were very intelligent. Suddenly they seemed to have been taken over by some disease called anger. And they behaved towards each other in very unpleasant ways. So it created a question in my mind that what really is human nature? What is true to our own inner nature? Is it natural to be angry? Or is it more natural to be peaceful? Is it more natural for us to forgive? Or is it more natural to seek revenge? And in my observations, I found that when our inner strength is high, then the best comes out of us, the best behaviors. But when our inner strength is low, it is then that the worst comes out. For example, we may seek revenge. And hence it has been said so wisely and so correctly that forgiveness is a quality of the strong. The weak cannot forgive. One way to describe this inner journey of self-awareness or spirituality is the opening of the third eye. And that's a great metaphor, because of course your eyes show you what the world is about. And just as we have these two eyes for looking outward, we have the third eye for looking inward, understanding our inner universe. And within each person, we do have this universe, which is much more vast than the outer universe. We exist in a solar system of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. But yet within each person, there is also a universe of our thoughts, our feelings, our memories, our perceptions, our beliefs. And as we begin to explore that inner universe, we realize that it is much deeper and much more vast than what we see outside of us. So one way to describe what rethinking is about, it's about perhaps adjusting the model that we have of life. And mostly we live with this model which we call as the outside-in model. And that means that when things are the way I want them to be, then I will feel happy, I will feel peaceful, I'll feel contented. But I believe that the opposite model is more effective and is indeed more true to our nature. That's the inside-out model. Now, a friend of mine puts it very beautifully. He says that you can wake up in the morning and have one of two approaches to the day. You can wake up in the morning and first you can think, what's going on today? And then you think, how do I feel about it? Or you can turn it the other way around. You wake up in the morning and first you decide how I want to feel, and then you think, what's going on today? And so the question is, the way I feel, is it my choice? Is it in my own hands? Or is it the result of situations, circumstances, and people? What we study here is that the human mind is the greatest energy. And if we learn how to take care of our thought power, if we learn to manage our thought energy well, then we can maintain our peace and happiness as we pass through life, even passing through adversity or failure. So what I'd like to do in this session, we'll be together for about an hour or so, is to explore some of these ideas to understand our inner universe and perhaps how we can upgrade it in order to have a more fulfilling life experience. So let's start with the first model. I'd like to show this on the board over here. So I think you can all see that. And the question that I would ask is, what do you see? Now, of course, I won't be able to hear your responses, but you may just share with somebody sitting next to you. What do you see? Now, some people say, well, I see a thumbprint. Some people say, I see the universe. Some say, I see a spiral. Some people say, I see the shell of a snail. Did anybody have any of these answers? Sorry? Couldn't hear you. Soul. Okay, all right. Okay, I think most of the answers that you will give, as tends to happen with most audiences, most of the answers will be about this. But hardly anyone will have thought that in addition to this, there is also this white, clean, empty, available space as well. Because I did not ask, what did I draw? But I asked, what do you see? And your eyes would have gone immediately to this. Whatever your eyes go to, whatever you see, is what you will begin to think about. Your creative thinking will be influenced by what you choose to see. The principle is what you see is what you think about. What you think about is what you become. Now, if we want to become something more than what we are, if we want to discover our own potential as human beings, then we have to learn to think differently. We have to upgrade our thinking. And if we wish to upgrade our thinking, we have to learn how to see differently. And what we're saying here, the point here, is not just to do with our physical eyes, but it's rather to do with the eye of the mind. So as you go through daily life, sometimes you have success, sometimes some failure. Sometimes there'll be people around you who are very similar to you, sometimes people very different to you. Sometimes people praise you, other times they criticize you. But what is important is what the eye of your mind chooses to see and focus upon as you go through all of these experiences. You cannot control what you see, but you can control how you choose to see it. And you know, I must say, I cannot stress this point enough. What is so vital, and one has to keep asking the self again and again, what do I choose to see in any situation? You'll be familiar with the phrase, Jaisi aapki drishti, vaisi aapki srishti, right? It's such an ancient phrase, but so true. So your srishti you cannot maybe choose, but you can choose your drishti and upgrade your relationship with your world, with the world around you. So the question then arises that how do you do that? How do you upgrade your vision such that you're able to rethink, able to see things from a new perspective? And this then leads us to the second model, which really shows us that what is going on within our own thinking, which influences our emotions. Now, as we go through our daily lives, as we go through the cities, we are all faced with what we may describe as events. Okay, can you see that? Yeah, events. And so what are events? Events are just things happening around you. Sometimes it's a sunny day, sometimes it's a rainy day. These are just events. Sometimes your team wins, sometimes your team loses. Events. Sometimes people are nice to you, sometimes people may be a bit nasty. These are just events. And so we cannot do so much about the events which happen around us. But here is what we do. Connected to these events, each one of us gives individual meaning. The event is outside of me, but the meaning I am giving with my own mind. The event happens, the meaning I give to it. So there could be some event which happens right here in front of all of us. But each person could give it different and individual meaning. I could give it the meaning of, this is something terrible which happened. Somebody else could find the same thing very amusing. A third person may find it embarrassing. A fourth person may find it uninteresting. So the event is the same, but the meaning each one gives individually from their own mind and according to their own thinking. Now, why this is important is because the meaning that you give to events, this is influencing, determining, this is creating the way you feel. In other words, your emotional state. So this is the sequence of events. First, something happens. Second, with your mind, you give meaning to it. And this happens very, very fast. We walk through the streets every day. You know, we see things, we hear things, we smell things, taste things, touch things. And our mind is giving meaning to everything that we come into contact with. And hence, human beings have sometimes been described as meaning-making machines. The giving of meaning happens in a nanosecond. We don't even realize it. And just as quickly is the result. That is where the emotion is generated. So it may be joy, it may be getting upset, it may be anger, could be any emotion. So, we agree the sequence: event, meaning, emotion. Event, meaning, emotion. Do you agree? I take silence as agreement. So, although in theory we may agree, but in real life, in practical life, we don't live like this. In practical life, we live under an illusion. And the illusion is we think event directly is the cause of our emotions. And that's the belief that we carry with us. For example, how many times have you said, you know, that person, he makes me very angry. Or, you make me very worried. Or, I am very upset because of such and such a thing which happened. Have you said that? Now, is it true? Is it true that you feel angry because of the behavior of some person? Is it true that you may be worried because of a situation? Is it true that you may be upset as a result of so and so? Actually, it's not true. The way you feel, for example, your anger, is not because of the way somebody spoke to you, but your anger is because of the meaning you are giving to the way somebody spoke. It is that meaning that you give to the event which is creating your emotions. Even the emotion of worry, fear, it is not because of an event or a person, it's because of the meaning your mind is giving to the event and person. Now this is both good news and bad news for us. The bad news is that there is no one to blame for your negative emotions and bad moods. So sorry about that. But the good news is exactly the same. Your state of mind, your mood, your emotions are entirely in your hands if you choose to be like that. You no longer need to be a victim, an emotional victim of situations, people, and circumstances. If you choose to own and to upgrade the meaning that you are giving to the events. The message here, which I believe is really one of the main principles of enlightened living or living with spirituality, is do not try to control the events with your mind, but rather own and take care of the meaning that you give to the events. Now, why this is a challenge is because we live in a world where there is something called the culture of blame. We only have to open the television news or read the newspapers to see that there is a huge amount of finger pointing in the world. It's because of them, because of her. Maybe in our offices too, perhaps in our homes. Everybody's blaming somebody else for their situation. But when we blame others, then we disempower ourselves from being able to grow, to evolve, to mature as a person. An important step in spiritual living is this realization that I cannot control people, situations, and events, but I can control the way I choose to relate to them. My peace of mind and my happiness is my personal property, and this is non-negotiable. If we make that kind of contract with ourselves, if we rethink our mindset towards life, we realize that in fact this opportunity has already and always been with us. But it's just that we have fallen into very limited ways of thinking, which has resulted in this culture of blame. And so this idea that your emotions are a result of events, this is in fact an illusion. Now let's just, before we go further, let me just ask you, the things that you have learned in your life so far, how have you learned them? What has been your learning style? Now some people say, well, reading books, or some may say listening to lectures. Some people say maybe from family. Various ways by which we learn and acquire information. But I'd like to do just a little experiment with you in learning styles. Would you like to do this? Yeah? This would mean that you have to stand up for Just a moment, is that okay? This also helps those who are sleeping to wake up, of course. Alright, so I'm just going to ask you to do as I say. Do you agree? Do you trust me? Seriously? Alright, I'm not responsible for the consequences. Okay, so just put your right arm out parallel to the floor, if you would. Some of you may need to move a little, not to hit anyone. Okay, good. And now just bring your hand in towards your body. Okay, keep it parallel to the floor. And now move your hand out again. And just bring your finger and your thumb together. Bring your hand in towards your body. Keep the focus. Keep the concentration. Okay, you're doing very well. And one more time. Move your hand out and just stretch your arm as far as it can go. And one last time, bring your hand in towards your body, bring it up to your face, and gently, very gently, just touch your chin and freeze. Hold it right there. Do not move. Just keep it right there. Right, now what did I say? Touch your chin. What are most of you doing? Chin is down here. This is called a cheek. Some of you got it right. But most of you, why are you doing this? Because of me. So blame Yogesh, as usual. It's always Yogesh's fault, right? Okay, thank you. You sit down. Yeah. So, what does this tell us? It tells us, as human beings, we learn more through our eyes than through our ears. Most of what you have learned in your life, especially in terms of your emotional responses, you have learned by observing other people. And the main teachers in this regard, of course, have been parents, maybe some older brother, sister, perhaps a friend, a teacher. And when we are children, what happens is we don't analyze too much. We simply observe, we absorb, and we mimic, we copy. Now, of course, we have learned many good things, but as well as that, we have learned some self-limiting habits. By the time we repeat those actions again and again, and we become adults, they have become deep-rooted patterns. Those deep-rooted patterns, then they become like a railway upon which our thoughts and attitudes and behaviors run. Now, of course, it's possible to upgrade. It's possible to grow out of those limited patterns. And this is really, for me, what personal evolution is about, or what rethinking is about. Let's have a look at how we can upgrade our thinking with regard to improving the meaning that we are giving to events. Because the whole emphasis here is on giving better meaning to events. The question arises, what is meaning comprised of? What makes up meaning? What are the ingredients of meaning? What is the meaning of meaning? Now, there are three things that go to make up meaning. And let's explore just one of them for now. And that is something called perspective, which is really to do with the position from which you are seeing something. So what would happen if we raise our perspective of life and events? Let's have a look at the model of perspective to help us to understand this. How are we doing? Everyone okay? Anyone sleeping? If somebody's sleeping next to you, just do this, will you? Or this. Or maybe both. Alright, so here we have, let's say this represents the spectrum of perspective. This represents the eye of your mind, the way your mind is seeing situations, events, people, comments, etc. Here, let's just say your perspective is high, or you may call it open. Down here, your perspective is low. So all of us find ourselves in situations sometimes which, you know, we don't like, or something which is new to us, or something which may be very different to what we are used to. So let's say that there is a situation and your perspective is low. You see that situation as a problem. When perspective is low, here's a situation and I think this is a problem for me. I have a problem. Could be a situation, could be a person. So when you see someone or something as a problem, what kind of emotions may that produce in you? You may have some worry, you may have some fear, right? Or it may make you worried, it may make you upset. Perhaps there is some stress. And if you go around with problem consciousness, then that's the energy you're giving to the situation. I see this as a problem. But if you raised your perspective and you say, this is not a problem, I choose not to see this as a problem. I choose to see this as an obstacle. You can't choose the situation, but you can choose how you wish to see the situation. So problem, something is in my way. What can I do? I cannot go further. I have to stop here. Could be to do with your finances, could be to do with health, could be relationships, could be something at work. But if you change your vision, you begin to think differently, and you say, I choose to see this as an obstacle, your focus is not on the situation, your focus is on you. How can I get over this? How can I go around this? How can I find a way through this? Now, what we need in order to get over obstacles? Well, think of how in school and also in sports training or in army training, people have obstacle courses. You run over something, maybe you swing over something, you crawl over something. And all of these also, they develop various muscle groups within the body. In the same way, for the person who is spiritually aware, sometimes life produces an obstacle course. And what we need in order to get through these obstacles, which is the greatest of all studies, and something we should focus on very consciously, is to improve and develop virtue within ourselves. Virtues I would describe as the muscles of the soul. our spiritual muscles. For example, in some situation, you require patience. Another situation, you require courage. With some individual, you need tolerance. In another situation, you have to practice forgiveness. If you focus on developing greater virtue within yourself, notice how you can easily pass through difficult situations. Now, do you have at least one difficult person in your life? Smiling means yes? Yeah? Alright, so is that person in this room? Is this person sitting next to you? Usually we say, you know, some difficult person is a person who is very good at pushing my red buttons. Right? Do you know your red buttons? No? The buttons which make you react, make you go a little bit crazy. And, you know, we want to change that situation. How can you stop someone from pushing your red buttons? What to do? Okay. Usually what happens when somebody pushes our red button is we look for theirs to push back, right? Somebody irritates you, you irritate them back. But it seems to be that there's one person in the world who is like a world expert at pushing your red buttons. It is almost like they have a PhD in irritating you. And they have been strategically placed in your life just to make things difficult for you. Now, of course, when we are reacting to people, then that's what we call as, let's say, unenlightened living. But enlightened living, or what we call as spiritual living, is the awareness that, okay, I find this person difficult, or this person's personality is opposite to mine, but the way I feel is my choice and my responsibility. So the real solution here is I learn to develop greater self-control. I learn to deactivate my buttons. That's the work that we have to do, rather than trying to change the other person. Now, if you go into a lift and you push the buttons, nothing happens, what do? You come out, you take the stairs. In much the same way, if I develop a very natural self-control, when people push next time, when they make those comments, for example, there'll be no reaction, and this sends a non-verbal message to the other person that you can no longer upset me. You can no longer control me. Non-verbal message. And one of the principles of spiritual living is never ask to be respected, but instead increase your self-respect. The more you increase your self-respect, the more naturally respect will come to you. This is a principle. The quality of your relationship with yourself impacts the way other people relate to you. And so if we apply this thinking in our life, in our relationships, notice how the world around you begins to adjust to your new relationship with your own self. Okay, as we continue to upgrade, the problem becomes an obstacle. Now, as my perspective rises, the obstacle, now I see as an opportunity. Now here is an opportunity for me to apply what I am learning. So instead of seeing it as a problem, opportunity to practice. as your perspective continues to rise even higher, the same thing, the same situation, now I see as a test. Now, do you like tests? Hands up, those who like tests.
Yeah.
Oh, quite a few, so maybe we can arrange some for you at lunchtime. How's that? Well, when we're at school, we may not like tests, but tests actually are there not to punish us, but for me to know what I really know and what I need to pay attention to. We take our body for a test, don't we? A health checkup. You may take your car for a test to make sure everything's working properly. In the same way, for somebody who is spiritually aware, when challenges come up, it's just a test for me. I may think I'm very humble. How do I know until a situation tests me? I may think I'm a very tolerant person. How do I really know until I face something or someone who's difficult? I may think I'm very honest, but how do I know until my honesty is tested in practical life? So our thinking changes, and we see the situation as a test. Hence, we're not fighting the person or the situation, but we're asking ourselves, what is this calling upon me to do? And then we have the final stage. Now, what do you think is the final stage? What does the problem change into? Again, of course, I can't hear you. Some may say solution. But the word I like to use is this changes into a gift. The same thing which previously I considered to be a problem, now I see, you know what? It was a gift for me. Which means perhaps I learned so much. Or the situation opened my eyes to seeing things in a new way. Yes, it was stretching, it stretched me, it pushed me, but if this didn't happen, I wouldn't have become the person I am today. Now, some gifts come to you very beautifully wrapped. Very nice gold paper, perhaps a red ribbon, very attractive. But you open it, and inside, not so useful. Other gifts come to you tatty, unattractive, maybe even foul-smelling. But hold on just a moment. Open the gift and see what's inside. Maybe there's a real diamond for you. So let us not be influenced by the packaging that life sometimes gives us, but let us have the patience and the positive attitude, the positive approach to identify what is the gift for me in this situation. And if we have this kind of rethinking, if we upgrade our thinking, we will continually be learning at every moment through life. Learning, growing, evolving, maturing. Now, does all that make sense to you so far? My hope is you have something in your pockets which you'll take away with you today and you can really apply straight away in your life. So let's do this. Before we go further to the next points, let's have a reflective moment, which is like a kind of introduction also to what meditation is all about. So I'll ask you, if I may, just to sit with your backs straight and have your feet flat on the floor and just allow your hands to just rest gently on your legs. Now, some people like to close their eyes in this exercise. Some prefer them open. Two things. One, you close your eyes, you need to be attentive because it's easy to drift off to sleep. If you have your eyes open, you need something to focus upon. So your eyes are not wandering around. So this simple exercise is called the quiet room. And it's all about just going from the doing to the being mode and visiting the peace inside you. So we're just going to have silence and I'll speak out a few guiding words. So just sit comfortably and we just take a few moments to relax the body and to relax the mind. For a few moments, I choose to leave the outside world outside and just to be with my own self. I know in daily life I play many roles, some to do with work, some with family. For these few moments, to go to your room inside and visit the peace which is always there. And if this works for you, then I would suggest definitely try this at least once or twice every day. It really makes a huge difference in our lives. The greatest need of the human mind today is peace. And we need to, you know, consciously build moments of peace, moments of silence into our daily life. If we think, I will do it when I have time, I will do it when I am free, you know the result. Anything which you consider to be important, you make time for it. And in most big cities, the lifestyle that we have is quite disrespectful to the mind. The amount of information we deal with, people, traffic, noise, etc. And I believe it's so important to start the day just by visiting the peace inside, experiencing that peace, even if it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And the effect is that whatever your mind experiences in the day, it supports in the morning, it supports you for the whole day. You will notice if you do this every day as an experiment for 1 week, see how you feel at the end of that week in terms of your emotional stability, in terms of how you manage when you face difficult people or situations during the day. Okay, I have just a few minutes left. I'd like to touch upon what we've talked about a little bit already. It's the rethink to the reconnect. When we talk about reconnecting, the question arises, connecting with what? And related to this question is understanding the whole concept of identity. So let me just ask here, how many people here were born in Hyderabad? Could you just raise your hands? Okay, so that's some, not all. I know this is mostly for people in IT sector. How many here are in the IT sector? Do you raise your hands? Okay, not everyone. How many people here have a sister? You raise your hands. All right. How many people here are human beings? Can you raise your hands? That should be everyone. If you're not raising hands, I'm worried. These guys at the front are... I knew it, the aliens have arrived. Okay, thanks very much. So what we're saying here is that our base identity is we are human beings. But today, we have got entangled in our acquired identities. I am from this country. I am from this city. I am of this religion. I am from this profession. I am a mother or a father. I am XYZ. These are called our acquired identities. We have forgotten our base identity. I would say that the human race today is passing through a global identity crisis. And the very visible sign of that is the conflicts we see around us and the loss of confusion. Who am I? Who are you? What are we doing here? So when we say reconnect, what we're really saying is reconnecting with our original identity as a human being. Look at the acquired identities we carry. Possibly the main one which people relate to is their nationality. If you go somewhere and somebody asks you, who are you? You may say your nationality. But the question is, do you have a passport or are you a passport? Is anybody here a passport? No, you have a passport. But what we've done today is we have put the passport into our consciousness and we have become passports. So we think, I am Indian, or I am Turkish, or I am French, or I am Japanese, whatever. We have placed this label so deep in our consciousness, it has caused a disconnect from our spiritual identity. Same thing happens with our profession. Do you have a job? Or are you a job? You have a job, right? But we've placed this one also deep inside. I am a job. And that's the way most people live today. And when we identify with something that we do or something that we have, at that moment, we are denying what we really are, which is our spiritual identity. To reconnect means also to disconnect from that which is temporary and to live in the awareness which we describe as soul consciousness. And that really is the first and the last lesson of what we study here. The simple awareness, practicing to live in the awareness, I am a peaceful soul. It's not enough to accept this. It's not enough to believe this. What is important is to live this, to practice this. Whilst you are walking around, whilst you are moving, having your meals, conversing with someone, being in that awareness, I am a peaceful soul. You know, sometimes people ask the question, how can I improve my meditation? Well, my experience is the quality of your meditation depends on what your mind is doing when you are not meditating. It means for the whole day, as you go through the day, what is your mind doing? If you are in this state of soul consciousness in daily, normal, waking life, you are fine-tuning your consciousness, you are raising your consciousness. And when you sit to meditate, your concentration is also very good. So the message of reconnect is this: disconnect from the temporary, connect with what is eternal and true, and live in that awareness. And as a result, you redefine your relationship with the temporary labels. You have this awareness: I have a nationality, but I'm not a nationality. I have a job, I'm not a job. And even our family roles, you may be a mother, a father, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, you realize even these are roles, but it's not who I really am as a spiritual being. When you practice to live in soul consciousness, it makes you emotionally very strong, very secure, and very stable. If we wish to improve our experience of life and our relationships in life, it all depends on improving my relationship with myself. And that means the state of soul consciousness. True self-respect, respecting which self? Not the self of the labels, but the original and eternal self, I, the peaceful soul. When you do that, you automatically rejuvenate the truth which is inside you. What is that truth? The five main qualities that are always within the soul. That is peace, that is joy, that is love, that is truth, and that is purity. To rejuvenate these, to give life to these once again, to bring them out once more. And as they emerge from within our consciousness, you will notice a big change in your relationships. You will enter into relationships, interactions, conversation, not from a place of emotional neediness, but from a place of emotional fullness. You'll have a greater capacity to offer patience, love, acceptance, understanding. And when we come into relationship from that perspective, from that angle, we have so much to offer each other. And that's how the whole of life improves, as we learn to water these seeds of truth which are within us. I hope these things have made sense to you, and I hope there are things that you can take away with you and apply in your life. It is a long and endless and beautiful adventure to go on the journey of self-discovery. And no matter how old or how young you are, the time to start is always now. So I thank you for your attention, and I hope you have a wonderful morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Yogesh Bhai, for those rather very intriguing thoughts that enable us to, get into the journey of self-realization and how to rethink, reconnect, and then rejuvenate. Backstage, we could really experience the peace in the hall when Yogesh Bhai was given the commentary, and then we were all meditating. So thank you so much for that experience as well. Moving ahead in the program, I invite David Bhai, Varun Bhai, Hamshika Ben, and Vishnu Priya Ben to come and sing a song right now. Like I mentioned, this is the 6th anniversary, so the song will be sung in 6 languages. So can I please invite them? All of them are active members of the spirituality in IT. Rahul Bhai works and then he also contributes a lot of time. Hamshika Ben works too. David Bhai, like I said, is at Gyan Sarovar rendering his services, and then Vishnu Priya Ben offers the services at Shanti Sarovar.
Om Shanti. Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Hamshika, and the sister towards my right is Vishnu Priya. The brother on the guitar is Varun Bhai. So as it is already told, we try to do a medley of six languages. And yes, why is it six languages? Because it is dash anniversary of SIT. What? Sixth anniversary of SIT, yeah. And we were also thinking that, you know, it's probably only our country that various languages, myriad of languages and religions share the same roof in harmony. So, dedicating this song to the beauty of our country, here we go. Come on, wake up and go, it's getting late, and it will be long, gotta do your hair, put your makeup on till you reach your place, it'll all be gone, then your bus will bump in, adding all your work. You ain't got time, you ain't got sleep, just targets and nightmares. Maybe I don't need all of this to have fun in life, oh. Maybe I don't need all of this to have fun in life, oh. I don't need no money to fulfill all the mundane dreams. I don't need no money as long as I can feel a peace.
सोचा न था उड़ रहा मन पंछी कि अब तो उड़ रहा मन पंछी ला 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 उड़ गई है मंजिल कि मुझको मिल गई है मंजिल. ఐటీ రంగం సాధించెనులే ఎన్నో విజయ లక్ష్యాలే ఇకపైన శిఖరం మనదేలే. ఐటీ రంగం సాధించెనులే ఎన్నో విజయ లక్ష్యాలే ఇకపైన శిఖరం మనదేలే. గత ఆరేళ్ళుగా మన సాంగత్యమే గడించింది ఘన విజయమే. ఐటీ రంగం సాధించెనులే ఎన్నో విజయ లక్ష్యాలే ఇకపైన శిఖరం మనదేలే. విలావై సిరుపిక్క వందిరుకుమని వరుకుం எங்களது திலிருந்தோ கணிந்த வாழ்த்துக்கள் இந்த சிறப்பனங்களை உங்களுடன் கொண்டாட பெரும் மகிழ்ச்சி ஆஹாஹ தருகின்றது.
அசாத்தே குஷினோ பாலையா எங்களு சொன்ன சாந்தி தோவி கரே
மினே கிண்ண குச்சு பாலையா எங்கள் தொடி சோச்சு தோப்பரே. அசாத்தே அனந்த பாலையா குஷினால் பர்பூர்னே மினே கிண்ண कुछ पा लिया ए गल तुडी सोच तो परे under the moon and thank God I'm breathing oh then I pray don't take me soon cause I am here for a reason sometimes in my tears I drown but I never let it get me down so when negativity surround I know someday it'll all turn around because
all my life I've been waiting for I've been praying for the people to say that we don't wanna fight no more there will no more war and our children will play one day.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that lovely song. Can we have another huge round of applause? That was a very brave attempt. Moving forward, I request David Bhai to please come onto the stage and then sing an English song for us.
So this is a song about light. So this is to be light and how the light is inspiring us, the divine source.
There's a light that shines on you there every day, my friends. It's guiding you through the stars back home. In the silence there that I would talk to you, and you would show me what to do. There's a light that shines on you there every day. It's guiding you through the stars back home. In the moment that I can be with you, and you would show me everything that I had been. And there's a light that shines on you there every day, my friends. It's guiding you through the stars back home. In the silence that I would talk to you, and everything you've given back to me, there again. Talk to you, my friend. You're coming back to me again, just like before. just like before, just like before. Om Shanti.
Thank you.
David Bhai, that was really mesmerizing. Thank you so much for that wonderful song. Like I mentioned, David Bhai knows to play more than 50 instruments, so you know, this is just a trailer of his talent. So thank you so much for that. Another round of applause, please. Thank you.